old though.
Log Talk Radio.
They were real little leaguers.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Drake.
Yeah. Mr. Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Oh, yeah, here we go, people.
Yeah.
Another edition, Talking Sports with the 12th Man.
We are officially ready.
Come with it.
We coming through like Derrick Henry's stiff arm on y'all, man. That's what we doing, man. We are really ready to get this party started tonight. That's what's happening. I see JQ is representing USA, the LeBron James jersey. He's representing the Cincinnati Reds. Hats, again, a tribute to the famous Joe Morgan. Man, just a lot of things happening. And again, yes, we are officially talking sports with the 12 men. Today is October the 14th, gentlemen. It's been an interesting sports week, if you will. But let's kick this off, man. As always, we want to just say what's up to the fellas, man. You guys look fantastic here. So first and foremost, let's get off with JQ, the man of the hour here. How you feeling this evening, sir?
Hey, man. Number 17, big baby. I'm feeling awesome. We're ready to talk some sports. You know, I'm still riding that wave right about now. That's a big old championship for my man LeBron.
You didn't watch the game.
I did watch the game. You talk about me. I watched it in the second
half.
You
go all in the text. You didn't even watch the game, man.
You can't even watch
the favorite teams play.
I watched the second half.
Gary Curtis, if that was the Blazers, y'all would have watched the game from beginning to end, right?
Yeah. Every game.
It don't matter. You do it how you feel like you need to do it. You see all this gray hair right here? I don't need no more.
Oh, man. What's funny, because JQ does not need any more gray hair. Rob, a.k.a. Asparagus Ford, how you feeling this evening, bro?
Hey, my family know when my favorite teams are playing, I can't sit on a sofa. I pace, I walk, I talk. I can't keep still.
and you're going to tell a piece. I cuss. I get mad. That's why I'm like, you know what? I just got to let it kind of settle in for a second. Because I was watching the game out when LeBron went for 40 and Danny Green missed that three-pointer, and I had my Lakers stuff on. And of course, everybody gave me the business end, so I was like, okay, see, this is why I don't do this.
Yeah. Well, of course I got to give you a hard time, but congratulations to your team. And, of course, congratulations to the NBA, too, and what they've done to take a stance on social injustice in the bubble. Tremendous job by the entire league, too, and what they did and what they established down in the bubble. And so, I was just sharing with someone today, you know, it seemed like the NFL did it for 1 week, and I was kind of quiet, but the NBA took a hard stand the entire time where they were in the bubble. So a tremendous job for sending a message of, the Black Lives Matters and the social injustice. And it's got to continue. So hats off to the NBA.
Right. Good job. Curtis, Gary, West Coast, what's up, guys?
Curtis, how you feeling?
Well, I learned today that Green was on last year's Toronto team. And then Green is on this team with LeBron. Go get him, Green. Go get him, Green.
He tried to blow it, though. He was getting
death threats, unfortunately, which is way too much.
That was uncalled for.
Yeah, 100% uncalled for. But
I wanted to touch base just real quick. We're doing good here. I really appreciate you guys asking. I'm glad everyone's doing well. But, I've kind of been keeping up on that Dante West situation.
Oh,
yeah. You guys are familiar with that. You know, he was living on the streets, begging. Mark Cuban's kind of stepped in and helping him out, got him in rehab, and he's doing quite well. They had some video clips of him online, and I'm happy for him. You saw that guy, you know. I saw those videos of him begging on the streets, and here's a guy that made, you know, $17, $18 million in his career, and to fall that far and to deal with, you know, the mental health issues and addiction issues that he had to deal with, I'm glad that there's someone with some integrity and clout that was able to get in there and help him out. So hats off to Mark Cuban for helping him out.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah,
and again, I know
definitely a great job.
We tend to like, again, not to pay attention to stuff like that too, but it's definitely something serious that we should definitely pay attention to too. Just but yeah, 100% agree with you. Shout out to Mark Cuban for showing some love too. So again, thank you for talking about that, Gary, and Curtis, keep the fight up, bro. We always give you a lot of kudos, man, for your fight, man. So we appreciate you, man. Love you, man. So keep it going as always,
yes,
man.
Definitely a true warrior,
thank
brother.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Let's really quickly throw out the numbers to the show, and we're going to dive right into this great edition, Talking Sports with 12th Man, season six, episode 180, man. We're creeping up on 200 episodes, guys, so I can't wait for that moment. But really quickly, we've been going for 6 years, man, but it's been fun.
I'm going to season four.
I got to check how long, because that's whenever, for some reason, I don't know if it kind of stopped whenever we hit premium, Rob. I feel like we've been going like at least for like 10, but I'll have to verify that too, man. But, you know, anyway, all good.
Yeah.
All good.
Yeah, I don't know if it's been 10, but it seems like it's been at least 8 or so.
Yeah, I'll have to look, yeah. Because I think like Vlog Talk had like a little thing, but whenever I pull up and I actually do like a show up,
right,
that's where it's at too. But again, really quickly, the number to call the show, it's always the same. It's the 424-243-9519. It's always the number to call into the show. Really quickly, we always do that, 424-243-9519. We are, as the kids say, on the Twitter, so we always do our tweets from that as well, which is at the number 12, THMAN Sports. And last but not least, we are on Facebook. And again, Rob, thanks for posting the actual NBA mock draft. We're going to talk about that as well. Post it on our Talking Sports page, which is Talking Sports with the 12th Man. Or if you put in at Talking Sports with the 12th Man, you will find us in that arena as well. So, gentlemen, we got a lot of things to talk about. And again, we're going to kick it right off, if you will, to some candidates for the MVP here for the NFL. And then, again, we talked about Le'Veon Bell. Not like we didn't see that coming. So, but, again, I think I have some ideas as far as leading candidates, if you will. You think Josh Allen's kind of took a little back seat. But let's talk about it, gentlemen. I think I know who everyone's going to say. JQ, I'll start with you, Rob, West Coast, and then wrap it up, Luke and Satham as well, too. So go ahead, JQ.
Yeah, I think that right now, especially what you just talked about with Josh Allen having that rough outing yesterday, it's got to be Russell Wilson. That dude has 19 touchdown passes in 5 games. I mean, that's ridiculous. He's almost averaging 4 touchdown passes a game. I believe he has 3 picks and about 15 sacks or something like that. Let's, you know, he's been sacked 15 times, so the offensive line is still not great, but he's still finding ways. And, man, just pure magic bringing them back on Sunday night against Minnesota and even overcoming Metcalf, dropping the touchdown pass on second and hitting him for fourth down with, you know, on a game-winning play. So, to me, it's got to be Russell Wilson right about now. I had Josh Allen up there. He took a step back for me yesterday. Tennessee really just punched them in the mouth yesterday and did it for the whole game. But as long as Patrick Mahomes and Kansas City Chiefs, I know they had a loss against the Raiders, but I think that's the first time they lost like almost in a calendar year. So they were due for a loss. I mean, that's a long time to keep a winning streak going. He's always going to be in that conversation just because that Chiefs offense is so explosive. And then Aaron Rodgers, we talked about it last week. We kicked dirt on the Packers. And on him, they didn't get him no help. They drafted a backup quarterback in the first round. They got another running back when they already had 2 good running backs. Like, what is Green Bay doing? And he's done nothing to come out there and win ball games. So for me, that would be my top 3, with Allen probably 4th, but I would still roll with Russell Wilson. I think Russell, with that performance on Sunday night, and then Josh Allen taking a step back yesterday, has widened the gap a little bit here at the quarter pole.
Yeah. not only did Buffalo get punched in the mouth, they got shoved to the ground, literally, man. Derrick Henry, man, what a stiff arm, man. He just slapped him to the ground.
Man, poor like, get off Josh Norman, man.
that was classic. But when you look at the MVP race right now, to me it's a two-horse race right now. It's between Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers obviously played one less game right now. And, you know, I'll be the first to admit, you know, the last 2 to 3 years, you know, I've been stating on the show, Aaron Rodgers not the same, but he's looking like the old Aaron Rodgers so far this year. He's playing outstanding. So it's between those so far. Obviously, there's a lot of football to be played. We just finished week 5, still early in the season. A lot of things can still change. But obviously, Russell Wilson has played one additional game than Aaron Rodgers so far, so you got to give him the slight edge. But Aaron Rodgers is right up there. They're the 1-2 in my book right now for the MVP in the early start of this season. Both of them have been truly outstanding in the and so far in this race. And the Packers, I mean, they're back. I mean, they made it to the NFC Championship game last year. We forget they got stomped in that game. But, I mean, they've responded really well so far this year.
It's going to be and I don't know what happened to their defense. I don't know what's going on with their line up there. But they all believe in Russell Wilson up there, that Russell Wilson is going to carry him on their back and take it on. And we've seen that. Le'Veon Bell will not be the MVP in the NFL this year. He just will not.
No kidding.
And the worst thing that happened last night.
Wow.
Guess what was the worst thing that happened last night?
What?
You better believe Bill Belichick was watching that game.
Oh,
and you better believe Bill Belichick is looking at winning that division. And Tennessee might have showed him the way. Tennessee might have showed Bill Belichick the way to that division. That's what
happened
last night.
Yeah, it looks like
New England
is going to get Cam Newton back this weekend, too.
Yep.
And that's, in my book, horrible. I don't think it's close between Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers. I think Russell Wilson is playing absolutely phenomenal. Not taking anything away from Aaron Rodgers. I think he is number two. And you know, JQ, like you said, anytime, you know, this is a short period of time in this season. You know, so third of the way through it. So, you know, you've got two-thirds of a football season left, and anything can happen. So you always have to throw in, you know, Mahomes in that mix just because of the greatness of his, you know, his team and, you know, players around him. And he's got a great coach. Andy Reid has really done a good job there. But Russell Wilson is just – he's just playing phenomenal right now. And that drive, oh, my gosh. That run, that 25-yard run up the gut. You know, and he's the guy that – he's that quarterback who runs a lot. But with all of his baseball, the background, he just slides well. If I were Dak Prescott, that right now, this is what I would be looking at. I would be watching him perfect, you know, in your mind, showing what you can do. What Dak did in that game, lowered his shoulder, knocked the guy down, and then fell and ended up breaking his leg, and we'll get into that later. But, you know, that doesn't happen with a guy like Russell Wilson with all of his baseball, background. He knows how to fly. And that's what these quarterbacks that are runners need to do. They need to be smart with that. And Russell Westbrook is the answer for that. Watch what he's doing. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Lou.
Well, I want to, of course, you know, Wilson is, of course, a dynamite quarterback, even though I can't stand Seattle. But, you know, I got to get Curtis doing. I'm sure that he will get the MVP this year, Wilson, that is. Much to everybody else believes. I just,
nice.
But now on the other side, I don't see how the NBA still has a job as the Jets coach. It's just humiliating. 0-5. I thought by now that maybe he'd be washed up and head out the door and get fired because he is going nowhere with this team. They had no defense. It's just pathetic.
Well, stay
and
tuned,
I'll,
man.
I'll
you probably got one more week. Good.
You want to give him one more week? I gave up after week four.
I
said they go 0-4. No, really. That's what I said. I said they go 0-4. Gage is gone. What is taking you guys so long? You fired two coaches already in the past week, so why not fire the worst one of them all? Or is your playing for sympathy? And
pitchers.
I don't know about you, but I was kind of surprised last night by the Bills getting crushed by Tennessee. I mean, I thought, A, Buffalo was going to win, and B, it'd be a much closer game. I mean, that caught me by surprise. I didn't think Tennessee, you know, because figure Tennessee hasn't played the game in almost 3 weeks, and I thought they would probably be, you know, shall we say, rusted and not rested. And I thought it was going to show up in on their side last night, but it turns out that, you know, Buffalo was more rusted than Tennessee did. I was very surprised.
Yeah, we'll talk about that too. I'm gonna grab Naj in here too as well. But yeah, man, a couple things to talk about. Yeah, I'm still here. A couple things to think about. He just popped on too, by the way. But definitely, you know, Gase, like you said, unless the dude has pitchers, you know, I don't know. He should be on his way out. So again, we're just saying that you know he's probably waiting for something else. And then it's funny because speaking of Seattle. I think Seattle may have the opportunity to bring back another coach named Dan Quinn to coach that defense, you know. So we'll talk about that a little later because I'm just happy that experiment is over. And, again, as you said, Curtis and Gary, we definitely want to talk about the Dak injury that's been happening. And I know we kind of had a lot of doses of that on Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
And Rob, I want to hear your thoughts because I think, you know, he was kind of going forth. I know he turned down, I think, that contract for like 5 years, $170-something million. And just – I don't know. Now it's going to be kind of tough because I don't think they're the same quarterback. Yeah, that's kind of tough, man. I mean, he was holding out, and this is kind of the worst situation that could happen. So again, I don't know. Got some bad advice, or you're kind of it's a gamble anytime you do this franchise. So maybe this will talk about somebody else or be an example too. Hey, Naj, what's going on, bro? We're talking about the MVP real quick. Man, you doing good, man?
Yeah, man, me and my homeboy, man, we got a truck. We out here moving Dan Quinn stuff, man. So I'm a little tired.
Oh, man.
Well, you got no trophies.
Thomas Dimitrov, y'all moving his stuff, too?
Hey, man, it had to happen quickly, so, you know, we out here, man. Yeah, get the other box. Yep, all that got to go.
You're my dude, man.
All right,
I cannot wait to – I cannot wait to see what's gonna happen.
Don't break nothing.
Oh man, I got to be honest. I didn't think we were gonna talk about this subject, but I really thought that it was only gonna be Quinn. I didn't think they were gonna fire Dimitrov too. That was a huge surprise for me too. So I thought Dirk was gonna save his job, man. But it's just something that you know we're happy that happened, especially being a Falcons fan in Atlanta. You know, I know we've been going through a lot of challenges even through tonight. We'll do the update on
know why they fired Dimitrov,
you know?
Too? I'm going to tell you why they fired Dimitrov, too. I'm going to tell you why they fired him as well, because he vouched for Dan Quinn at the end of the season. And so, you know, he put himself on the line to give Quinn one more chance. And so that's why Dimitrov got the axe right along with him, because he vouched for him as well. And, you know, they listened to him, and that's why he got fired as well.
They fired
he was on the hot seat a few years ago, and they went and got the KC GM to act as kind of a co-GM with him. So Dimitrov So Dimitrov was always kind of, you know, as things wore out, he started getting a little thin, and so many draft picks that he missed on, man.
Right.
You know, all those things. I mean, firing shoes that morning, man. He said, No, give me a red shoe. Let me put some firing shoes. Let me put them on.
This is Gary in Portland. So when you're packing that stuff up for Dan Quinn, did you make sure that he had his fourth place Little League trophy there? Make sure that, you know, you packed that up nice. Because, you know, back then not every kid got one. Only the first four teams got them out of four teams.
Y'all going in on Dan tonight, huh?
That's okay. Hey, man, if the game was perfect three quarters, man, we'd have a dynasty, man. That's all I'm going to say, by the way. So let's talk about this. I know you got to laugh about it to keep it going. Gentlemen, so Le'Veon Bell, and let's talk about where he's going to end up. And I may let Lou briefly talk about this because I know he's a – are you a Jets fan, Lou, or are you more of a –
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you're a Giants or Jets fan. Okay.
No, I'm a Jets fan. I've been a Jets fan since before I could talk probably.
Oh, my goodness. So I don't know if I'm saying sorry or, you know, whatever. But so what's going to happen with Le'Veon Bell? And I guess are you upset at Gase for – I'm letting go clearly, you know, I know it's always
well,
not.
Well, I don't think
Bell's
he got a fair shake. I mean,
bad, everything was bad. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I mean, I think Bell has a point. I mean, even though he was not, you know, great with us, but he does have a point because he didn't really use him enough, and I can see why he was so frustrated by it and wanted to be traded out. I mean, if you're not going to use a player, why do you have him? So I can't really argue with the fact, you know, that Bell, you know, has left. I mean, and, you know, went through such turmoil in a year and a half. And he's like, well, use me or lose me. So if you're not going to use me, I'll just take my business elsewhere. So I don't really blame him for being upset and whatnot. I mean, Gay should have done something about that a long time ago. And maybe would have used him more, maybe be more competitive in these games. But Gay's, you know, is not really, you know, a good coach. I'm surprised they haven't fired him yet.
He's next.
Now where you know, he's going to end up, that's another story. I mean, you know, Bell isn't, you know, the young rookie anymore, and his time is drawing short. So who knows? Maybe they can send him back to Pittsburgh. Just an idea.
Oh, yeah.
That might happen, actually. But you never know. I mean, it's his comfort zone. Mike Tomlin knows him. But I think Le'Veon Bell hasn't looked the same after that year off. And he has not looked the same. And I think that really is one of hurting him, taking that year off. He just never has looked the same.
I had a feeling about that, too. I thought, well, he took a year off. What if he goes back and he loses his step? You know, that's always a concern when a player does that. And, you know, I had a bad feeling about that. When I come back, they wasn't going to be the same Le'Veon Bell as he was with the Steelers. And unfortunately, I was right.
Yeah, I think he's going to have three touchdowns since he's come back between last year and this year. He's only got three touchdowns. But a couple of teams I would think about here that possibly would give him a look. You got the Detroit Lions. I mean, right now they only got 59-year-old Adrian Peterson running back there right now. Le'Veon Bell, I'm
only
sure we'll probably get a look with him. I wouldn't be surprised, like I just said a little while ago, I wouldn't be surprised if the Steelers kick tires with them a little bit again. They're familiar with them. Hey, you know, sometimes the easiest thing is to go back home, right? And so that's something to think about. The football team in Washington, that's another team that's lacking some running backs as well. That could be a team he can possibly end up in. And then the last one I have on my list would be the Jacksonville Jaguars. Obviously lost Leonard Fournette. They got a running back by committee right now. No one's really great out of that group. Those would be the four teams
nice.
I would look at.
James Robinson is running that rock for them.
Really nice.
Yeah.
And then
I got him on multiple fantasy teams. That's the only reason why I know. James Robinson is running that rock. That sounds you hear is that bridge he burned back in Pittsburgh. I just don't think that's happening. You can go ahead and just put the TNT to that thing. I can't see that happening. I agree with you, though. That year off, you know where Le'Veon Bell's going to end up? On his damn couch. What has he done to make anybody say, I want to bring Le'Veon Bell or bring this headache in, and he want multiple millions of dollars from me? Nah, player. I wouldn't mess with it. I'd give you what? Mike Tomlin should get a retro Coach of the Year award, and I hate the Steelers, But let's talk about Le'Veon Bell. Let's talk about Antonio Brown's crazy ass. Like, look what he was dealing with every day in that locker room. Like, he needs, like, a Lifetime Achievement Award just for them two fools. So I wouldn't mess with it. And this guy had to do with him being an ex-Steeler. But he didn't show me anything, really, where I felt like he was like, oh, that stopping and jumping, cutting in there, people got used to it. It wasn't working the same way. And he was a one-trick pony with that. And that's not been working for him. So at best, you bring him in to be a committee. But if I had a young back that I believed in, I don't think I would want to even subject him to that dude. I wouldn't do it. At least not in this year. I wouldn't do it if I was a GM.
Well, I see the NFL Network is poisoning people still about players. But, look, when people walk away from Adam Gase, they tend to get better. Kind of weird how that works. Robbie Anderson, they told us, was washed up. Now he's the WR1 in Carolina, moved right ahead of DJ Moore. Ryan Tannehill resurrects his career as soon as he gets away from Adam Gase. Why do we think Le'Veon doesn't have anything left? And I'll say this. I don't think any of those teams y'all named are possibilities, because those are all young teams that aren't really contenders. I think he goes to a contender. The Jets are paying the bill. The Jets have to pay him $6 million. He goes to whatever team he wants, basically for a veteran minimum. So I think he's going to be picking jobs. I think he's going to go to a really good team and probably, like y'all said, running back by committee. But that's a hell of a second back to bring in. But I think he goes to a contender.
Wow.
Not too many contenders out there that need a running back, though. That's the only problem. I mean,
NFL where people are dropping like flies every week?
No, that's a possibility. If somebody drops, obviously you got to give them a look. But right now, I mean, you know, the Panthers getting Christian McCaffrey back in a few weeks, and I mean they're 3-2. I mean the Buccaneers got Ronald Jones and Leonard Fournette, even though Fournette hasn't really done much except for that one game. And you know, Seattle's got Chris Carson. I mean, what contender? I mean.
Seattle would be a good place because he catches the ball well out of the backfield. That's his strength. Chicago is a possibility. You got David Montgomery number one running back. I don't know if he's legit. I mean, there's some possibilities, man.
That love is a possibility is what it is. He's going to be at the house chilling hard.
That's the pay the bill, man. You're paying veteran minimum.
I don't think Pittsburgh's looking past Les Claypool. Let me say it again. Pittsburgh is not looking past Les Claypool. They're not. I would hope Le'Veon Bell ends up with a contender. And Seattle, you know, they try to work magic with veterans. I can see them being there. And maybe even in L.A., not the Chargers, the other the Rams.
Yeah.
But it's hard to say, but that money could keep him on the couch until he's ready to come off that money.
Well, you don't have to pay him anything. The Jets have to pay the bill this year. They owe him $6 million. He gets that.
That's
the veteran minimum. Yeah.
No, I got you. But you keep saying that. I give you the other ones for Gase. But Tomlin generally has a pretty good reputation around the league. So now you're talking about Tomlin and Gase. Now, if it's just Gase, I can give you the Gase piece of it. But when I watched him run, I just didn't see that same burst out of him.
A year off, hurt him.
But once you walk, you talk your way out of Tomlin first, who I think is really respected, that to me that raises eyebrows in the manner he did it.
Because of performance. He left Pittsburgh over contract issues, though. So that wasn't Mike Tomlin saying, I don't think this guy is the guy anymore. And honestly, he never really had a great burst. He's always about, reading blocks, picking his spots, and, you know, just being that same guy who could avoid hits. So I don't know, man. I think as a second back, catching the ball and running patiently like he does, I think he's a good option.
Hey, I'll eat my words if it happens. I'll get on here and eat my words. I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it. But I hear you.
All right. Okay. I can't wait to see what happens if Le'Veon Bell gets signed. And again, Naj, you better call in on that day. Like, yo, I called it, but it's all good. We'll see what happens with that.
No, I don't think he needs anything to get signed. He's got to produce. If he doesn't produce, I'll take all the arrows that JQ and company are going to shoot at me. Because, so I take all that.
I got you. That's cool. That's what's up, man. All right, so, you know, Curtis and Gary had actually mentioned or brought up the charges, if you will, and Justin Herbert, man. So, again, he is looking like he is the real deal. Again, much to the chagrinment of my Jets fans, if you will, too. But right now, where do you – Rob, how would you rank Justin Herbert? Is he the best rookie QB in NFL right now, Rob?
Shake the table.
That's tough to say. I mean, Joe Burrow's taking a beating in Cincinnati right now. That offensive line is not helping him at all. I mean, that game against the Ravens, it seemed like he was picking himself off the ground like every single play. And I was like, man, I was feeling sorry for him. But, I mean, you might have to start leaning toward Justin Herbert here because he's, even though the Chargers are 1-4, they've been competitive in a lot of these ball games. He's getting help. From his receivers. He's getting more help from his defense. He's getting more help from his offensive line. And you might have to start giving him the slight edge here based on his performance here in the last couple of weeks. And and if you're the Miami Dolphins particularly, you have to wonder if you made the right selection picking Tua over Justin. I mean, Tua hadn't even scratched the lineup yet. Obviously, we hadn't seen Tua play yet, so it's not fair. But, you know, based on what we've seen out of Justin, if you're a Dolphins fan, you have to start scratching your head here. Did we make a mistake taking Tua over Justin? So right now, I would give the slight edge to Justin based on his performance. He had 4 touchdown passes the other night. Joe Burrow's getting his ass kicked every week. And a lot of that's probably not his fault. It's because his offensive line is not protecting him. Say what?
Not every week, bro.
Yeah,
come
that's
on,
what I'm
man.
Saying. Justin Herbert has a better team. He has a better offensive line. That's why I was going with Joe Burrow.
They stopped doing that. Yeah.
But think about it. You got the kicker who pulled his calf muscle on the field goal. They were at least tied, the Chargers. We don't know what happened in that game. Then the defense gives it away to a tie in Philadelphia. Baltimore's defense is for real. You just got to give Baltimore's defense credit. But that's just – he's got way more talent in L.A. with the Chargers overall than Cincinnati does. And he's still keeping them somewhat competitive, the Ravens game notwithstanding. I know I'm a homer, but Burrow, to me, is doing more with less than what Herbert has to do. Herbert is looking good, don't get me wrong, but Burrow is doing more with less.
And Burrow has better weapons, but he just don't have the offensive line. And that's the problem.
Well, that ain't going to help you.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. That's the problem. He don't have the offensive line to protect him. But he has more actual better weapons. I don't know. A.J. Green doesn't look the same either, though.
Oh, no.
Did you see that fool on that interception? Just run down the field like he was shot out of a cannon? Oh, my God. Don't get me started on A.J. What he's got happening this year. I'm done talking about it.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good question. Where's A.J. going to end up?
Sitting next to
Wichita's
ass on the couch.
He looks done, too. AJ Green looks done. And they give him that 1-year franchise tag. He's not earning it.
Sitting there watching the
Pro
Bowl.
AJ Green's
going to the Patriots. I'll tell you guys a story about Justin Herbert. In college here in Oregon, his sophomore year, and he was the starter at Oregon, in a game against Arizona, one of them, he ran into the end zone for a touchdown and hurt his shoulder. He got popped in the end zone, hurt his shoulder. Oregon lost the season. They lost Justin Herbert. So when he comes back the next year, it was a big design by the Oregon coaches. Look here, Justin. We don't need you running into the end zone. We don't need you running at all. Get this ball to these playmakers at Oregon and do not, Justin, we're pulling the reins on you. We don't need you running. We don't need you getting hurt in any of our games. The change came last year. They told Justin in the championship game, and if you remember, Utah was ranked ahead of Oregon, and it was looking like Utah was going to win the Pac-12. They told Justin, we're taking the reins off of you. They took the reins off of Justin in that Pac-12 football game, and they took the reins off of Justin in that Rose Bowl or that whatever bowl they went to. and you see the results. But there is also the thing about Justin that you don't have film on him yet. I don't think the league has film on him yet, so they don't know the tendency. And then there's that thing that Anthony Lee said, we got to figure out how to win these damn games. And a thing I hate, and there's a kicker that needs to be fired, flat fired, because they should have walked out of there with that win in New Orleans. They really should have, and I don't think there's an excuse for that guy missing that field goal. I can't see any excuse why that man missed that field goal, and they should have been running out of New Orleans with that victory. And then people would have been talking about Drew Brees today.
Hey, speaking of people who should be on the couch.
Well, I'll say this about Justin. Everybody talked about Burrow, but Burrow had all these weapons around him. He had the national championship line. He had all of these NFL-caliber wide receivers.
Yes.
Justin Herbert Denton, and I brought that up, and Rob had said that was a good point at the time when I brought that up. Now he's got some weapons, too. He's got the wide receivers. I will grant that he's got a way better line, you know, in San Diego at this point right now. But I'm happy that he's playing as well as he's playing. I would give him the nod. I think he's playing good. I think it's close. I think both of those two guys are going to have, you know, if health permits them, they're going to have great careers. And that's one thing when you get that number one pick, you go to that team that has some sort of deficiencies. That's why they got that number one pick. It happens to be that line. If they can be smart about their draft, get that line beefed up around them. Don't go get playmakers now. Get the number one picks and number two round picks and get that offensive line built up. Get studs in front of him.
JQ said that.
And yeah. Then you got something. Right now, I think Herbert's got a better line, and that's why he's throwing the ball. It's not showing in the win-loss right now, but, you know, like you guys mentioned earlier, you know, to be a team like that and you're in all of these games, you know, that says something. You went against some of the best quarterbacks in the league doing it and held your own. That also says something.
They've had some tough breaks. Obviously, you know, we talked about the missed field goal the other night for the Chargers. We talked about some of the miscues they had in the Tampa game, blowing that lead. And, you know, they had the Chiefs on the ropes. And they lost to the Chiefs by a field goal, held the Chiefs to 20 points. And so they've had some unfortunate luck here. I know they're on a bye week this week. I'm not sure at this time who they play when they come off the bye. But, you know, they've had some unfortunate luck here in three of these games here against the Saints, the Bucs, and the Chiefs here the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, but look, man, this ain't about offensive line. This is about game plan. And in Cincinnati, when you pull up Joe Burrow, this is what you see. First game, 36 attempts. Second game, 61 attempts. Third game, 44 attempts. 36 and then 30. You can't put a rookie in that position to where you're throwing the ball around that much where the game plan is that dependent on him. Joe Burrow's biggest issue is that coaching staff not bringing him along slowly. He was the most NFL-ready quarterback. That's why he got drafted number one. Now, however, here's the issue. Joe Burrow probably has a little bit better than average arm. Justin Herbert's got a rocket, man. That dude has an arm that most people in the NFL do not have. And if he develops as far as figuring out how to read defenses and throw into tight windows, he could be something special. Like that talent jumps off the screen. The deep balls to that unknown guy that he's throwing. All the stuff he's throwing to Keenan Allen. Like Justin Herbert looks really, really good. I didn't think that dude was going to translate to the NFL like this. I got to give it up to him, man. That arm is live and crazy. But Joe Burrow is being failed by his team. There ain't no way in hell you should ever have a rookie throw the ball 60 times. Dude, that is insane.
Well, that is a point about Justin Herbert, too. You got to remember, prior to last college football season, he was the number one quarterback prospect going into the season. You know, yes. Joe Burrow was projected to be a mid-round quarterback and just all of a sudden just had the best year in college football history from a quarterback standpoint and just elevated him all the way up to the number one spot. So, I mean, Justin Herbert going into the season last year, he was the number one quarterback prospect because of his physical twos, because of his mobility, because of his rocket arm. And the thing that dropped him below Burrow and Tua last year and the reason why he was the third quarterback taken in the draft, what you didn't see from him on the college level last season, it didn't seem like he processed information fast. He wasn't getting rid of the ball quickly. And that's what kind of dropped him slightly. But the physical twos was always there from, like I said, the arm strength, the mobility was always there. But he was holding on to the ball too long. He wasn't processing information quickly. He wasn't getting rid of the ball as fast as you would like. And those were the three main reasons why you saw Burrow and Tua get picked ahead of him. But, you know, so far he's off to a heck of a start.
Mm-hmm. Luke, you got anything real quick?
Well, I'll tell you this, you know, Burrow has been good. He's just been playing on a bad team, which, you know, I did kind of expect because the Bengals, you know, I didn't expect much even with Burrow. But, you know, he is holding his own.
Easy. Are we talking from a Jets fan? Okay, I just want to make sure we were still talking about that. Okay, okay. You can continue.
But Herbert, you know, has been the dominant rookie so far, even though he plays for a lousy team like the Chargers. But he's holding his own. I think, you know, as far as rookies, I think he's the best rookie so far.
Yeah, good call. And just to kind of piggyback on what you guys said, definitely Naj as well, too, that whenever I was looking at Justin, and you see whenever the Bucks do that zero blitz on him, he just makes that perfect pass. And you're just like, wow, this dude is playing really well too, man. So, again, if you're the Chargers, you have the biggest thing. You have your franchise quarterback, you know. So, again, even though freaking Tyrod Taylor had to get, like, an injection to get him in there, which is a whole other conversation. But, again,
what a stupid way to get injured, though, too. For your own doctor.
That's a whole other conversation. But, so, anyway, long story long, you have your quarterback of the future, and you just got to continue to – strengthen that, you know, can add some weapons to them. And like I said, Chargers, they're definitely an up-and-coming team, if you will, too. We got about 20 minutes here, if you will, guys. And I definitely want to hit on we've been talking about it a lot. We'll definitely let the Cowboys fans talk about what happens next with the Cowboys. And, we know that was a pretty gruesome injury, obviously, with Dak Prescott. He kind of played the game of not signing that franchise tender, franchise, you know, contract, if you will. He got the tag. And now he may not be the same quarterback. Go ahead, Cowboys fans. What you got, West Coast?
Well, first of all, I want to say that Curtis and I both have been critical of Dak at times, openly critical on this podcast, with his record and this sort of thing. But at the same time,
losing to the Eagles, 40 guys off the street.
Yeah,
43 guys,
something like that. Well, what I wanted to talk about is this: is of these quarterbacks in the league, what Dak Prescott has had to go through personally in his life, with the loss of his mother, with the suicide of his brother. You know, and he was talking about his depression, and I think it was almost like intuition he was feeling, and he hadn't been sleeping well. And then he finally got this really good night's sleep, and he got woke up to hear about, you know, the death of his brother. And then, you know, just coming out of college, coming out, you know, low pick, you know, his own expectations of, you know, starting as the, you know, Cowboy quarterback and people critical of him and Curtis and I have been critical of him. So what I want to say about that is I felt horrible when I saw that play You know, he was about at 9 yards. He knocked that guy on his ass, fell down, somehow got his leg, you know, twisted up and broke. With all he's gone through, I personally want to wish him the absolute best. I want him to be our quarterback. I want Jerry Jones to, you know, make sure he's okay. He signs him. Those sort of things are horrible to see. What I told you guys, you know, tweeting, you know, or messaging back and forth, is it looked really similar to what I saw with Murph when he went down, how his leg just went sideways. The difference between the two breaks is with Dax, his bone actually came through the skin, which causes really concern
for infection
and things like that. So I feel horrible about him. What I did like about the game is that, especially when you're playing, you know, they talk about the Cowboys defense being bad and it's horrible. But I was glad to see that they rallied around Dalton. He threw some good passes, and he won the game for him. And that's exactly what he did. And he's got maybe a slightly better offensive line than Cincinnati. But he played well.
No.
Break
your heart. Curtis, no.
Hey, he's got the best talent around him right now that he's had, period.
His whole career.
He's got the best receivers he's had.
He's always had those things.
And I'll bet you that he ends up with a better record than Cincinnati.
They play in a terrible division. You come play in the AFC North with Pittsburgh and Baltimore and Cleveland, and you tell me
now
what fucking Dallas does. They
you
play with Washington Giants and the Eagles. Get completely the hell out of here.
Get out of here, bro.
I cannot wait for 2 weeks when Andy Dalton has that 3-interception game. You come in here hanging your head low, talking about, the Red Rifle picked me again.
I'm not saying
he's going to do it.
But I will say he's a very capable backup. In a weak division like the Cowboys are in, I think he can be a competitive enough to even win the division.
That's like being the prettiest girl in the whole bunch of other girls in the room.
The best quarterback. Andy Dalton might even be the best quarterback in our division right now.
That speaks volumes about the NFC League. Get out of here completely. Andy Dalton is...
No, I want to talk. Thank you for bringing that up. I want to talk about the NFC East right now. Before we came on the podcast. Hang on. I looked at four magazines about worth of franchises. Cowboys, number one. Okay? Giants, number four. Redskins, number eight.
The Washington team.
Uh-huh. And Philadelphia, number nine. So those four franchises are some of the best franchises, worth more than – Cincinnati wasn't in there. New Orleans wasn't in there. Atlanta wasn't in there. None of your sorry-ass teams were in there.
Let's look at this. Dallas, 2-3. Philadelphia is in second place at 1-3-1. Stop talking about that division. We're not living in 1980. We're talking about right now. That division is trash.
Okay,
everybody in the free world knows it.
The Cowboys have a better
record
than Cincinnati, and I say that they'll have a better record than Cincinnati with Andy Dalton than your guys have with the number one draft pick. I'll bet you $100.
We got a rookie quarterback
right
on a
now.
Bad team.
Yes or no? Just yes or no?
You want to?
Yes
Andy
or
probably
no?
Will. You probably will. You know what? You're going to get your ass kicked in the first round of the playoffs, and you're going to come back in here crying, and I'm going to talk cash shit to you when Andy Dalton shows his whole entire ass and throws four interceptions and you get your ass sent home. So let's make sure we have that conversation when that happens there, brother. Who gives a damn about what they were? That division is fucking sorry.
That is a lot of hurt what y'all hear right now. Andy Dalton has hurt him before.
That's the second I want to hear what
I'm saying. I've seen this movie. You try to convince me this movie's gonna have a different ending when I haven't seen it before. Keep watching.
Andy has hurt that man before. But look, if I'm being fair to the Cowboys, let's say this. We saw the worst case scenario happen to Dak Prescott. But with that sample of games we saw this year, you know what we found out? That Jerry should have paid Dak the money. That Dak is a next-level quarterback. He was as good as his agent thought he was. He proved all of us wrong these first four games. Like, Dak was exceptional this year. It's sad that he got hurt. So moving on now, here's the issue. You bring in Andy Dalton with weapons all around, but you got a historically bad defense. So how do you expect Andy Dalton to win as a game manager when he has to get involved in shootouts? It's not like you can really slow the game down and try to limit possessions and win with Andy kind of playing safe. You're going to have Andy air it out because you got to keep pace with the other team. So to me, I think we're going to see bad Andy a lot. But they still got a chance at the division because the division is bad. Now, what's the prize for that? You get a playoff game and then you lose because you're walking into a playoff with Andy Dalton. So, I mean there's nothing else there.
Do you think we'll be playing Cincinnati?
No, Cincy's not going to the playoffs.
Yeah, we do play out this year.
Yeah.
Oh, when is that game? When is that motherfucking game?
Hold on. Yeah. Let's say this. What's it going to take from Zeke to get y'all to the playoffs? Like an Adrian Peterson MVP season? Like, what's it going to take from Zeke to get y'all?
We don't have the line. We don't have a line for Zeke to get that.
Yeah. Well, I think the question about where they go now has been answered. Where the Cowboys go now has been answered. So hold on to your seats, America, and America's team, because here
circle
we go.
Circle the date, December 13th. So we're probably going to be on the show December 16th. Oh, man. That is going to be a good time.
I told you that man has a lot of hurt in his voice, man. That's real. That hurt is real. And he's done it. And he's done it for him, man.
Damn straight.
You hear it? Oh, that hurt is real. Oh, my gosh. Rob, you got to save us, man. Do you want to do those fantasy shout-outs real quick?
Save us, Rob. Man. Save us. Talk some reason here, Rob. We need it.
Oh, my gosh.
We know we ain't going to get it from your ass.
They do have the worst division, though. I don't have a good division, so I'm with JQ, though. The Eagles are in second. They're 1-3-1, and they're in second place.
No more of that. No more of that.
Oh, man.
I love JQ. Good man.
Oh, man. Oh,
everything
God.
Was rolling fine, and then you said that name that triggered that man. That man was triggered.
He said Andy Dalton. He's like, I've seen the story. Four interceptions later. Oh,
my bad. I'm sorry.
You got Rob. That's all good. It's all good, man. That was good. I love the passion. You can't make this up, man. Are you muted, Rob?
Yeah, but can everybody apologize?
Rob, you're muted.
Can we all admit that Dak balled out and Dak was much better than what we thought this year? Can we give him that?
I'm always giving him that.
Absolutely.
He's been good.
Absolutely.
And it was It was good to see all the love that Dak got with the players. That was really good to see.
Yeah. It was such a horrible moment for a good dude. I mean, Yeah, but he's going to bounce back from it.
Dak is a really good quarterback, but I need to see Dak. I need to see Dak do it when it really, really matters in the playoffs.
I need to see him do it in the first and second quarter when it's still a tight game, and not do it when they're down by 30 points and they're playing just a proven defense.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
That's true. He's brought that team back in a lot of games, but he's been having a lot of turnovers early in the game.
Yeah.
The biggest problem with teams like the Cowboys and the Bengals and a lot of these other teams is not front-end talent. It's the fact that from 22 to 53, they're never built well. They're never built well. You know, they can't withstand a lot of injuries. They don't have the depth that when you look at good teams over the years, the injuries they've accumulated, but they've still been able to keep things going and win football games. That separates them from teams like the Cowboys because the Cowboys are such a weak front office. They don't really know how to build a team.
Front load, yeah. You got all the pass rushers in the world, but not a single run stopper. You got fast corners, but you got two safeties who don't know what covers they're in and are misplaying plays all over the field. So, yeah, they got problems, man. They're going to have to kind of try to tighten up. But it would be interesting if that defense galvanized and got together and started at least just being league average. Just don't be historically bad. Just league average. That's all you would have to be.
The problem with that is that the defense, there aren't any elite players over there. I don't see anyone that you fear when you scheme up the Cowboy defense. I mean, Alden Smith, I think, always been a baller and a player. But, I mean, he's been gone for a while. He can play, but I'm not afraid of anyone on the Cowboys.
Check for Ethan and Vander Austin's off, which is called the linebacker's out.
Yeah, he's out.
But, yeah.
Smith is that linebacker from Notre Dame is probably the best defender on the team.
Miles Jackson.
That's true.
Yeah.
I mean, and I'm not really scared of that guy. Like, I have to compare it to my team, full disclosure. I'm born and raised in Pittsburgh. I'm a huge Steelers fan. When I look at the Dallas Cowboys, we have to play them. When I look at that defense, I look at our offense, there's no one on that defense. I'm like, man, we got to really account for that guy. There's no one. I don't look at anyone on that defense and think that.
Yeah, we get you, man. I mean, Steelers, they've always had that mentality of having a great defense, too, so you just kind of keep shuffling it back in, too. So that's definitely something that you can definitely hang your hat on. And then having an offense is just like gravy at this juncture, too. So we hear you 100%. Go ahead, Rob. We got a minute to jump into our fantasy shout-outs real quick.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for all of our competitors in our fantasy leagues. We'll start with league number one. My team had the biggest win of the week, Death Valley, with a 182.08 win over Shock System, 83.10. And my team's also in first place, Death Valley, 4-1. League number two, Chester in New Orleans. His team, Hunk Smash, had the biggest win of the week, 135.18 to EP Diablos, 83.22. My team is still in first place, Black Lives Matters, at 4-1. League number three, Matthew in Indianapolis. His team, Unger's Crew, had the biggest win of the week, 151.06 to Mark Robinson's team, 76.14. Rick in Austin, his team is in first place, Pelican Fly, at 4-1. In our last league number four, my team had the biggest win of the week. Flash forward, 163.52. The baby got backfield, 114.94. My team holding down first place. Flash forward at 4-1. Those are our fantasy shout-outs for the week. And a lot of football still to be played. Thank you all to our competitors. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that ends the live portion of our show. We're getting ready to go into our OT portion. We got a pretty animated show going. I'm sure it's going to be animated in the overtime portion, so you want to click on this link, get the rest
NBA
of the show
talk.
The rest of the week, and we'll be back on the air live next Wednesday night. It's going to be 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. You don't want to miss it. Click on the same link the rest of the week, and you get the rest of Gary and JQ going at it. Stay tuned.
Yeah, no, not no more, because I just had my family come knock on the door and told me I was too loud. They couldn't go to sleep, so I got to be quiet.
Uh-oh.
Scared
the
baby. Jake,
you got in trouble.
Boss came and got on you, JQ, huh?
Yeah,
Yeah, they can't become the top of down. So I'm sorry, Gary. I love you, bro. I can't stand that, dude.
Andre, December 13th.
Listen to the show.
We got to be in the same venue for the Bengals and the Cowboys.
We in Cincinnati, December 13th.
Game of the
year. Nice.
We got to meet somewhere, a little bar somewhere to watch that game.
Game of the week. Game of the week.
Gentlemen, we are officially into the OT portion. And that's happened to me too, JQ. I've been yelling. So the wifey had to come in. Like, I can't sleep. Close the door. So I'm with you, man, on that.
Oh, they sent the baby downstairs. They sent the 8-year-old downstairs on me too. I was like, oh, my bad. Damn.
Man, they got you. They got you. Really quickly, I don't want to talk about every NFL prediction, so you guys can talk about it. I definitely want to talk about some NBA stuff, too, because there's some good things to discuss. But I was going to talk really quickly about having a game on Tuesday. Excuse me. Was that on Tuesday? Yeah, it's kind of weird because, you know, it kind of is like if you – like, I love ice cream, if you guys didn't know, man. I know Rob loves cookies and stuff like that, but – if you give me too much ice cream, it's gonna like deaden the effect too. I kind of feel about football. You know, it's one of those things where interesting having that game because you kind of want to enjoy the week. So it's kind of interesting to see a game on Tuesday night if you were to. But you know, NFL they got it in. You know, like I said, the Titans put it on them, and then again, I do want to talk about Browns at Steelers because again, you know, if you are the Steelers, I know. Good thing for JQ that Steelers fan jumped off the call. I'm the Steelers. I'm basically going to shut down that run game and make Baker Mayfield beat me. I'm going to say, all right, we're going to shut down this run game. Baker, you better beat us. So that's kind of what I'm doing if I'm thinking the Steelers. I think Steelers are going to win the game, but again, that's how they probably stop that too. Because again, Steelers probably feeling a little big on themselves. And, you know, this is going to be a true test, if you will, too. So go ahead, guys, on this one. Rob, JQ, West Coast, Naj.
I tell you what, the Browns are showing a lot.
Oh, sorry, Rob.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, you got it, my bad.
I'm going to go with the Steelers here at home, but you got to give Cleveland a lot of credit. You know, it looks like they're turning a corner, and their running game, their offensive line, they're controlling the tempo of games, their defense, you know, they got Denzel Ward, they got the pass rusher in Myles Garrett. I mean, they have players on both sides of the football field, so they're really competing. And, I mean, they had a really nice win at home against the Colts here this past week. But I think the Steelers are going to be just slightly too much for them here. And the Steelers, Chase Claypool, the rookie, second-round draft pick out of Notre Dame, he's been phenomenal for them, 4 touchdowns this past week. And he's been
pretty
getting a touchdown almost every week for them, even prior to that game. So they all of a sudden, the Steelers team is a team that has some weapons that I didn't foresee going into the season, and their defense has been stout as well. I'm going to go with the Steelers in this one, but I think the games are going to be really, really close. I think Cleveland gives them a run. I'm going to go 27-24 Steelers on this one.
I think what you're going to see is about the same thing from Pittsburgh. I think Watt also got hurt in that game. I'm not sure if he's going to be back. He's really integral to that Pittsburgh defense. I think you're going to see the same kind of games you saw from Philadelphia and Pittsburgh this past week. I think you're going to see a lot of probably outside when they play the Bengals because the offensive line sucks. But I think Cleveland has enough weapons to keep pace with Pittsburgh in that game. But it always feels like Pittsburgh always has the answers for them. And I agree with you, it's going to be probably a 5-7 point victory by the Steelers.
Yeah.
Curtis, what do you got?
I think they're really close, though. I think these teams are really close. From the looks of it, I think Cleveland is really turning the corner.
Yeah, but you know, for them to turn the corner, they're going to have to beat Pittsburgh. And I don't see that happening. And I'm kind of with you. I think Pittsburgh's going to score 30. And Baker Mayfield's going to make that mistake that's going to cost them. And they'll probably only score 24.
Well, since you pissed me off earlier, I'm gonna go with Cincinnati.
You're playing Cleveland, that's Cincinnati.
I mean, Cleveland. I'm sorry, Cleveland. I'm going with Cleveland.
That's Gary Fletcher.
Oh my goodness!
Just one.
That pain,
you know, we were pretty down on on Cleveland this year. We were, you know, a few of us had, you know, Rob, I think you thought that they were going to do pretty good. I don't think the rest of us had much good to say about them because of Baker Mayfield. Because they've made him more of a game manager, they're playing good ball, and they've got a shot in this one. So I'm going to have to go against you guys, and I'm hoping I win this one.
Go ahead, Dodge. I love it. Yeah, I'm looking at it like I think we're overvaluing Pittsburgh. They played some really close games against bad teams. The Cincinnati game and this last week, the Philadelphia game, where I thought they would kind of run them over. Those games have been much closer than what they should have been. So that scares me. So I'm giving Pittsburgh 3 points to win this game. But I think now we're overestimating Cleveland. They're still a run-first team that basically has the training wheels on Baker Mayfield. He can ride his bike from one part of the street to the end of the street, but he can't leave the street, and his mama is watching him from the porch. Like, they are treating him like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's a remedial quarterback. Like, bro, I don't know. Sooner or later, they're going to have to let Baker ride through the neighborhood, and we're going to see if he can actually hold his own. So, I'm not high on Cleveland still. I'm still looking down.
Wow.
They got a couple wins.
These analogies, man. These analogies are fantastic.
Yeah. Baker, turn your bike around. Get home.
Come back before the lights. Come back when the lights are out, Baker.
Go pick a quid.
What are you doing, Baker?
Go pick a quid off the tree.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. I don't really know where to go after that one. But, so, hey, we're going to talk about a couple of coaching rumors. And, again, I guess, Rob, we're going to talk some NBA mock draft. We're going to get this in here. There's a report that the Knicks are looking to trade down to acquire Kentucky guard Tyrese Maxey. And I guess, Rob, talk a little bit about that, too, because I know this is going to affect a lot of teams, if you will, too. And what have you heard about this particular rumor, if you will?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, the Knicks have the 8th pick in the draft. And I have Tyrese Maxey at the moment going somewhere around the 16 range. So, I mean, that's dropping back quite a bit. And I think Tyrese Maxey, you know, obviously he's a one-and-done player, played 1 year at Kentucky. Very athletic. He's a 6'3 combo guard. Almost has Donovan Mitchell athletic ability, but he just hasn't shown that kind of a scoring ability at the college level in one year. Plays a little out of control. He still has some, but he's still a young player as well. So he'll be somewhat of a project. You know, he can play the point, he can play the two. So it's going to be interesting. So obviously the Knicks see something in him that he can turn into a high-end prospect. But like I said, I have him going 16 to Portland right now, and I have the Knicks taking Onyeka Onwuka, a big guy from USC right now, the 6'9", 250-pound guy who's a beast in the paint. And if they stay at number 8, that's where I have the Knicks taking at 8. But a lot of reports out there that the Knicks looking to trade down to get Tyrese, so we'll see what happens.
No, I hate the idea of trading down in the NBA if you're rebuilding. If you're rebuilding, take your guy at 8 and then give up a piece or something to get your other guy at 16. But get your guy. I don't believe in trading down in the NBA because the talent pool is so thin and the difference between the guys you want and the guys you don't want is huge. But it's the Knicks.
Yeah, and you're right. You don't see that happen too often in the NBA draft. That, you know, it happens. You saw the Hawks and the Mavs pull off that deal a few years ago. It rarely happens. You see it a lot in the NFL draft. You don't see it that much in the NBA draft, but it happens occasionally. So it's really interesting. And I think Tyrese would be a little bit of a reach at number 8. I have the other Tyrese Haliburton, going number 9. You know, I've compared his game to Andre Miller, a guy who's always under control, not a great athlete, but he's a super smart, cerebral basketball player. So he would be more to Tyrese. I would take closer to number 8. But, you know, obviously reports are saying the Knicks have the eye on Maxey, so we'll see.
I mean, any guy named Andre is a pretty awesome person to promo, so I just want to throw
except
that out there.
You.
But what I was going to tell you, too, any guy named Andre is amazingly awesome. Tyrese Halliburton, believe it or not, they've got him linked to the Hawks number six because they feel like he is a great complement to Trae Young, believe it or not, because he can definitely, again, take some pressure off of Trae Young as a point guard. Again, he's tall enough to definitely pair with him in the backcourt, and then obviously if Trae's off the court, he can definitely fill in and run that second unit too. So keep an eye on that as well too, Rob, if you will, because I know like they're high on him. I know they're also high on Derek Fasher, the guy from Isaac Oruku, believe it or not, from Florida State. A couple guys that they like too as well too. So, but that's the guy that I'm kind of curious.
No, he's from Auburn,
number six, if you will. I'm sorry, Auburn. I'm sorry. Yeah, Isaac.
Yeah. But I like Tyrese Halliburton's game. He plays. He's always under control. He's a floor general. Not the greatest athlete. But he just has a very controlled, really smart basketball player. Just seems like he always controls the tempo of a basketball game. I have him going number nine in the Wizards right now, but you know, you never know, he can move up. But he's a guy, like I said, that just plays always under control. But Isaac Okoro from Auburn, he's going to be a heck of a defender at the next level. He's got to work on his offensive game a little bit.
To be top five.
Yeah,
yep. Yeah.
I got him going number seven to Detroit, just one pick after the Hawks right now.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, that's going to be a tough call because they, you know, we need defense. But, yeah, it's good to – there's a couple of interesting things. Like you said, I agree with you, Naj. You definitely want to trade down, if you will. We're still paying for a couple things with that too. So yeah. JQ, you have anything to add on that or no? JQ's not to – he's still hot.
No. I'm not mad. I wasn't really paying any mind because the Lakers are drafted so far down. I think the things you have with the Knicks and a lot of teams, because you talk about talk to Minnesota wanting to get out of that first pick, is that nobody's really sold on any of these guys as being a game-changing, franchise-changing player in this draft. It's one of those drafts where like Anthony Bennett went number one to Cleveland, and that you just look like, what the hell is going on in this draft? I think you might potentially have one of those. I think a lot of teams feel that way about this draft. So I think that's why you hear more moves about people going down. I haven't heard any stories about anybody wanting to move up.
Yeah. I think Anthony Edwards is an elite prospect, though. I think he comes to be an elite scorer in the NBA. I really do. He's got the shot. He's got the athletic ability. He can get to the paint at will. And to me, he's the clear number one prospect in this draft, and I have Minnesota taking him. And I think if you're a Golden State fan, if you get James Wiseman at number two, you got to be really pleased. And that could really put Golden State right back in the running next year when they get the get their guys back, along with Andrew Wiggins, along with Draymond Green. And then Wiseman obviously is going to be a rookie, but you're talking about a 7'1" athletic guy with a long wingspan. And you got to put Golden State right back up there with the Lakers in the running for the West next year.
And Wiggins,
much as I hate him,
do not buy.
How about that, Gary?
Because they may package you with that number two pick to get somebody who they like. So be careful.
Would you say Naj?
How about that, Gary?
Be careful.
We're talking about the Blazers winning it. We're talking about the Lakers winning it. How about that, Gary?
Hey, I think that's great. Congratulations to the Lakers. Which brings us to the next topic. Let's talk about Michael and Magic. Michael Jordan, Magic Johnson. Who's the best Laker right now? Is it LeBron? Who's the best Laker of all time? Is it LeBron? No, it's
no,
not. It's
best
Magic
Laker of all time.
He played with the Lakers for 2 years. How would he?
Yeah. Right. Now.
Okay, so how could he possibly be if Magic Johnson is not the best player of all time? How could he? He can't even become the best Laker of all time. How can he be the best player of all time?
Well, I don't think that's the right question
not.
There. Obviously, when you think
he's
about
not.
The best Laker,
MJ.
You're gonna always say Magic Johnson. Magic Johnson played his whole career
Magic
there.
Johnson.
And yeah, I mean, if you look at the whole, if you look at the overall grand scheme of things, you have to put LeBron over Magic Johnson. There's no doubt about it. I would have put him over Jordan, but you have to put him over Magic Johnson.
I don't think I ever said that.
When you look at LeBron, LeBron controls the game in more areas than a player that I've ever seen, and even more so than Jordan. I wouldn't put him over Jordan because Jordan just had that winning instinct. He always made the right play down the stretch. But LeBron controls. When you look at how much he impacts the game, he impacts the game on both ends of the floor. Magic wasn't a great defender. And that's one of the reasons why you got to put LeBron over. But LeBron just controls. He impacted the game in so many areas. I mean, we had a couple of finals ago where he had the most points, most rebounds, most assists, most steals, and most blocks in one finals. And he controlled all five of those categories. You had never seen a guy in the NBA ever do that, not even Michael Jordan.
Yeah,
I agree.
It impacts the game in so many more areas than anybody you've ever seen.
Preference doesn't matter. When you're talking about the all-time greats, it's thin. It's going to be based on what era you lived in and what you saw. So you're going to pick your favorite. But the ultimate thing to say is this. LeBron's a made man now. He's in there with all the other greats. He's one of the made men. It is what it is. And guess what? Anthony Davis is 27. LeBron can mess around and get two more and the all-time scoring leading title. Like, that could happen over the next 3 years. And the Lakers could mess around and get two more. So he's a made man, man. I mean, just get a man his due, salute him, and keep it moving. No use in comparing him
like
to everybody
give
else.
Give me my damn respect at the end of the game the other night.
He's respected.
I mean, definitely cemented himself as the second best player of all time right now. And he's still in the running to be the best of all time. Nas just said. I mean, right now, he's just cemented himself as the second best of all time, and he's depending on what happens over the next 2 to 4 years, he's still in the running to be the best of all time.
Yeah, but I don't think I ever said that LeBron was the best Laker of all time. I don't think I ever put that out into the atmosphere. I mean, he just won his first one with the Lakers a couple of years, but that was very
But we do have to say the Lakers have passed the Celtics as the greatest NBA franchise of all time. The Lakers are number one.
I don't like neither
one.
They're tied.
They're tied at 17, I believe.
Yeah.
Number one franchise, man. Those balls.
No, you know I'm gonna go with it. But if I say that, I'm a homer. So I mean,
Nas and
JQ
are both Lakers fans.
I think those cheating Lakers are gonna come back with another All Star during the offseason. Like, we've seen this movie before. Somehow, some dumb team gives them something, and they come back with another All Star for Danny Green or something. So I'm not a Laker fan. They're the evil empire of the NBA. They're the Yankees of the
Danny
NBA.
Green.
I'm not a fan.
Danny Green's trying to become the Robert Horry of the NBA.
Right. Ain't no telling what they're
hey,
gonna do this summer, man.
All I gotta do is
Lottie
JQ
Divock
that,
for Kobe Bryant.
J.R. Smith has a ring, man. You should be happy about that. Hey,
man, if you don't stop talking about J.R. Smith.
I'm gonna give you a hard time, man. that's LeBron's boy. No, hey, we kind of have an open forum before we wrap up the show. We got about 10 minutes here. We can talk about anything. Rob, I know there was a nice thing about New Orleans moving the Super Bowl to 2025. And then why did Dirk Nowitzki turn down a Nets coaching opportunity? That's something I'm kind of interested too. But, again, that was on my two that I had. But, again, you can kind of talk about your topic you want to talk about if you're –
Dirk ain't no fool. He ain't going to be chasing Kyrie and Kevin Durant around for 82 games. Man, he ain't trying to do that.
Kyrie
was
a part of Kyrie. That's funny. Yeah, Kyrie is not a good guy to coach, man, apparently. That dude's a headache, man.
Yeah.
So I can see that for sure.
And I think the Celtics got better without him this year. Kimball is not the shooter that Kyrie is, but he's a better defender. He's a better all-around player. I think the Celtics got better this year, and they have a better chance over the next few years now that they got rid of Kyrie Irving and got Kimball Walker. And I don't know if I believed that before the season, but after seeing the difference in that team, and it was more chemistry, too. There was more chemistry on that team. I mean, Milwaukee just trucked them last year in the second round of the playoffs, 4-1. I mean, just swept the floor with him. And, I mean, he's not the difference maker. And Kevin Durant's going to find that out real soon. he's going to find that out really soon about what he has in Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, and the scary part about Kyrie is if the light bulb ever comes on, he's an all-time great talent. One of the three, I would say top three as far as ball handling ever. I don't care who you want to bring up. if the light bulb ever comes on and he learns how to deal with people instead of being an alien, which is what he actually is, he's a weird, aloof dude who people can't relate to, and that's the biggest problem. Like, he just has problems dealing with people. Like, Kimba's half the talent of him, but Kimba's a cool dude. Tatum and all those guys love him. So, yeah, it was, you know, addition by subtraction.
Yeah,
I agree.
Paul Reddick,
I agree.
The team. Yep.
Well, Gary, the problem with that is you got two head cases there. You know, KD, all you have to do is tweet about it. All Kyrie would have to do is tweet, hey, I'm the best player on this team. And KD is going to have a shit fit, and then there's going to be some issues there and this sort of thing. Both of those players, you know, their feelings get hurt really easily. They listen to all of these tweets. Everything matters to them. Just like when KD was at, you know, was at, he was the best player on that team in Golden State, and won, you know, and won MVP. But because it wasn't his team, yeah,
right.
Yeah, you're right. Just so insecure that you can, if I were a professional athlete and I were playing them in a series, the first thing I'd do is start tweeting back and forth about those two guys. Someone's going to get their feelings hurt, and you're going to have a better shot at winning. They're both that mentally challenged.
All time
I kind of like that Thursday night football last week. And I like to see defensive football, and I thought I saw that on Thursday night. And Khalil Mack was throwing some guys around that was looking pretty good. And then I saw my man, Tom Brady, and some people are calling it the senior moment. Well, I blame everybody. Why did he look at the down marker? Why did Bruce Arians know what the hell down it was? Why didn't the coaching staff, somebody tell Tom, look, dude, this is fourth down.
Yeah, they forgot to tell him he's no longer in New England anymore. They're not going to teach for him like that.
You don't get five downs here. Yeah, Robert Kraft is not signing the checks down here, dude. You
checks on cash.
He's old, man. He's old. That's just what it comes down to. And you can't be hollering at everybody on the sideline and then you forget what down it is. Like, nah.
I know. I saw that. Who is he fussing at? I was saying the same thing. Who is he fussing at? And then he's going to throw his whatever it's called, the Microsoft pad down. Microsoft Surface.
I am enjoying the downfall and aging of Tom Brady more than I should. It's almost petty, haterish. But I am enjoying it. I want him to have a terrible season for all the nightmares that man caused me over his career and bad bets and everything else. So, dude, I'm going to enjoy this.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Sorry,
BQ, you got a moment. Is anyone talking about the Raiders beating the Chiefs? Was that pretty shocking?
It was.
You know,
it's
divisional matchups,
yeah.
You know? Yeah, yeah.
And
you look at the Patriots
year.
And you look at the Chargers. They put some defensive schemes, some defensive packages against the Chiefs, and a lot of teams are taking notice. Hey, they're dropping back in the coverage and trying to give them everything underneath. Hey, you're not going to beat us with the big play. You're going to have to dink and dunk your way down the field. And Patrick Mahomes, eventually he's going to pick that up and still be successful. But he's got to realize that he's just going to have to take what the defense is giving him and not force the issue.
And the other piece of that is they hadn't lost in the calendar year. So, I mean, it's going to happen. You're not just going to keep winning every week. You're going to be due for a loss, a bad game. Like, just think about how phenomenal it is not to lose a game for almost a calendar year with a quarterback that young. It was shocking. You probably wouldn't have chosen the Raiders to be that team. You thought maybe a couple weeks ago it would have been the Ravens. But, you know, things are going to balance out stat-wise. That's a hell of a run they were on for a year. So, I mean – they would do, I think, more than anything else.
And they'll both raise the Raiders when they see them again, out of anger. It'll be ugly.
Yep.
In Vegas, in that new stadium.
But it's division rivals that will get you. It's those division rivals that play you twice a year, every year. They're the ones that will, you know, you can have a great season going on and you got, you know, three games of division rivals, and that's when you got to watch it. And it's usually that team that you're not expecting. It's not that, you know what I mean? And it happens to all of our teams. It seems quite often.
Well, back up, Gary. Before that game, Derek Carr was telling the reporters, you can't call this a rivalry. How can you call this a rivalry when we haven't won any games around here? Oh, this ain't a rivalry. This ain't going to be a rivalry until we start winning some games. And apparently that was the heart down there in L.A. or Vegas, I'm sorry. They decided that they want that division to have a rivalry game with the Raiders and the Chiefs. And they went and did their job.
Go back to the 60s and 70s, said that was a huge rivalry, the Raiders and the Chiefs.
Yeah, you can. Right. Yeah. You can't call this a rivalry until we start winning. You start beating them. And so, Kansas City, take note. The Raiders are trying to make that a rivalry game.
Yep.
Yeah, Derek Carr was really good. Got to salute that man for that. But also, I know you're about to get out of here in a second. Let me just say, I told y'all before the season that man Phillip Rivers was washed. And my God, they got a solid O-line, solid D-line, solid team. And that boy Phillip is stinking it up. My God.
Yeah. What did I tell y'all last week in the predictions? I told y'all Myles Garrett was going to be in that ass, right? I think everybody else picked the Colts, and I picked the Browns last week. So Myles Garrett was going to be all on them last week.
You heard it first. Keep an eye
but
on
I think the Chiefs bounce back and beat the Bills on the road this week. I do. I think the Chiefs bounce back this weekend and go on the road to beat Buffalo.
Keep an eye on that.
What happened for me watching that game, at one time I thought Phillip Rivers might be a Hall of Famer. And the last couple of years I've been watching Phillip Rivers, I don't think Phillip Rivers is going in the Hall of Fame. I don't think he's a Hall of Fame quarterback.
Well, I think he will go in the Hall of Fame, but he's got to buy a ticket.
Oh, my God. Rob, JQ, go ahead. You got your last topic. You got about 4 minutes here. Go ahead and wrap us up, and we'll wrap up the show, man. Anything you want to talk about?
Yeah, I have, top five teams in the NFL right now. From the way I'm looking at it, I got the Packers number one right now. We'll see. They've got a big game this weekend on the road against Tampa Bay. I expect them to go down to Tampa and win again on the road, a big win, and beat Tom Brady. I think they're number one. I have Seattle number two right now. And number three, I got the Pittsburgh Steelers, undefeated, and Tennessee Titans four. You know, they're getting it done on both sides of the ball, offense. And as Nas mentioned earlier, Ryan Tannehill, four touchdowns last night. He's a resurgent, the resurgence of his career. It's unbelievable what we're seeing out of him. And, of course, that stiff arm by Derrick Henry was nothing nice. And then I got the Chiefs as the best one-loss team right now. And have them at the number five position. You mentioned New Orleans. They were awarded the 2024 Super Bowl. They did a swap with the NFL. They're going to take the Super Bowl in 2025 because 2024 is a conflict with Mardi Gras. And, of course, New Orleans don't want to mess up Mardi Gras, right? So they moved the Super Bowl to 2025 in New Orleans for Mardi Gras. NBA coaching. We got Tyronn Lue is right now a candidate for the Clippers, the Rockets, and the Pelicans. So it's going to be real interesting there to see where he lands up. Stan Van Gundy is also a candidate for the Pelicans. And Sam Cassell is being considered by the Clippers as well. So
the alien.
And that the Clippers let Doc Rivers go, but both of his top assistants are the leading candidates to get that position now, Tyronn Lue or Sam Cassell. And I hear there's an outside chance that Jeff Van Gundy, not Stan, but Jeff is also a candidate for the Clippers, while Stan is a candidate for the Pelicans.
There it is.
I wouldn't trust Tyronn Lue to coach my AAU team. I'm going to switch over here to this one we talked about a little bit earlier. My man,
Joe Morgan,
RIP. for sure. Make sure I give him a shout out. And then, you know, you think about it. And I was looking back over the numbers. When the Reds won 75-76, he was the National League MVP in both of those years at second base. You think about it, Johnny Bench and Pete Rose on that team. He was the MVP in both of those championship years. I don't think he gets enough just due here. And maybe that'll start to come to light while people look him up because, you know, he passed this year. But that to me was amazing. You know, a 10-time All-Star. But the fact that he won it in both those years, the National League MVP. So, you know, RIP to Joe Morgan.
Best second baseman of all time?
Yeah.
I think so.
And then I wanted to send y'all an email because I was on this GoFundMe page so I can start a petition to get Gary off the podcast. So I'm going to send y'all a couple of links so y'all can send me some money so we can get him off of here so we don't have to hear no more about that Cowboys stuff next week.
Andy Dalton to hurt this man so bad.
Oh, I love you, Gary. I'm just messing with you.
Hey, Naj, if you can only see him on this Zoom meeting, man, when he mentioned Andy Dalton, he started shaking his head, and the smoke, the fumes started flying off the top of his head.
Hey, we're going to get Naj on this Zoom thing.
I'm a man of a certain age, man. I ordered what I thought was some AirPods. It was an AirPod case. Some young man scammed me. I'm an old guy, man. But,
they're always picking on Kurt tonight. But especially me. Go choose on me tonight.
Hey, but no matter what, all of us have a quarterback or a cornerback who we hate with every fiber of our being for something they did on the football field, and we ain't never letting it go. All of us got one. Quarterback, mm-hmm.
You're
one
right.
Cornerback. One of them.
One or two.
Well, it hurt my feelings to hear JQ tell me he saw this movie before. I'm trying to figure out what movie.
Hey, if you ever see Robert Lewis in a bar,
that's
buy
the name of the movie.
Lewis a drink and ask him about Andy Dalton and see what he say.
Oh, my God. I can make jokes about getting JQ Andy Dalton's jersey. Like, nope, I'm going to burn it. It was hilarious, man. He wanted no part of that whatsoever, man. It was hilarious. I'm like, man. Yeah, I
you've got one. Just be honest, dude. You've got an Andy Dalton jersey. I want you to wear it next week.
Eric, make sure you send him over Christmas.
You know, good damn well, I do not have an Andy Dalton jersey. I might have about 5 or 6 AJ Green jerseys, but I have not one Andy Dalton jersey. Like, no, that they will never get none of my money for that. Even when they put
Gary,
it on sale for $23.99, I was like, no.
What's that? What's
send,
that
send JQ Andy Dalton jersey for Christmas.
Yeah, I use it for some. I use it for some kindling. Have a nice little fire.
Let's get him a cowboy Andy Dalton jersey. The little red rifle.
I got a fireplace right where it's going to go. As soon as I get out the box, it's going to go right in the box in the fireplace. It's still on fire. I'll send you a picture.
Okay. I'm glad I talked to y'all, man. I was sad, man. I went to pick up my wings. Before I could open the box, I looked at the score. It was 11-0 in Atlanta. Like, that's what happens to us. So that's the kind of night it's been, bro.
Hey, yeah, I was telling Andre earlier, hey, you just got to be happy. If you're a Braves fan, you just got to be happy that only count as one loss. Because that ass whipping could have easily counted as 3 losses. Man,
come on, Rob. Damn.
If you're a Braves fan, you just got to be glad that only counted as one loss.
Oh, man.
It's like I told my dad, Rob. I told you guys this earlier. It's like I told my dad. I said, yeah, he's a big Dodger fan. I said, Dad, what if they scored all their runs in one game? My dad says, oh, gosh, I hope not.
Yeah. Because if you look at the overall runs in the series, even though the Dodgers are down 2-1, they've outscored the Braves just from this one game tonight.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, like I said, it's not like a – yeah, it's not like a last game. Like, as long as it's not like a damn the last game, that's one thing. At least I'm like, damn, you know, at least get it out early. Play, get that damn stupid gas, you know, game early, you know. So again, as long as it's not like a game 7 or a game 4 like that, we need to like wrap them up, man. We need to win tomorrow, and then like, just, you know, I'm not saying anything until we get the World Series. You know, that's it, man. So that's it. I said it. All right, man. That's all I got, man. You know, Atlanta be trying to, like, come down all the time.
JQ, send me that link for the GoFundMe thing. I'm putting some money in there, too.
Know how good this show going to be if Andy Dalton plays as well? Do y'all know how good this show going to be?
Oh, my God.
You will really see that smoke coming off top of the JQ head.
It's going to be about coaching.
You're going to keep that hat on your head.
You're going to be talking to a black screen.
Sunday night this week, too. All our eyes are going to be on them.
Turn video off.
I can see who's talking to a black
screen. JQ is going
to
be rooting against the Cowboys harder than ever now.
Oh, yeah, he is.
No, I'm not. He gonna do everything for me. I ain't gonna have to root at all. I'm just gonna watch it happen.
I can see JQ if something happens. He throws a interception. I'm just gonna hear him on his phone like, damn, I told you.
I just want that video. I want that video on your top of your TV when it touchdown Dalton. Whoa, touchdown Dalton. Wow, touchdown Dalton. And just, oh yeah. I'm going to do the best I can to stay healthy. And, Rob, when you get that play, send us all the pictures. Send us the square footage. Show us the pool so I can figure out how many kegs we're going to bring and how many barbecue wings I got to bring. And how much we're probably going to use a semi-truck. Of all the stuff we're going to bring down to your house, so when we get down there for the Super Bowl,
we got to have room for my 33-foot motorhome, too.
Yeah.
We'll make room for it. Definitely bring them wings.
Did you say Arizona this week?
No.
Oh, yeah.
No.
That's
a lot. Arizona? Bring them wings.
Yeah, we're coming down. And, hey, I'll bring the
asparagus with you.
Yeah,
we
can have
a
good time at the Super Bowl. E-Boy City, here we come. Woo!
Hey, y'all coming from Portland. Y'all know what I need, too. I need one of them huckleberry shakes, too.
Oh, yeah.
We got it.
Yeah, Nosh,
if you're still online next week, you got to get on the Zoom with us. We got to see you. You're going to see a couple of old guys here in Curtis and Gary, and they make fun of us all the time. We need another old guy on here with us.
It's all good, man. All right, man. I'm going to try to make an effort for it, man.
Make sure you reach out.
That don't sound like a good plan. Right, we'll see.
Surprisingly, Gary, I'm probably up there with you in age, believe it or not, man. So it's all good, you know, so just FYI. I know I look young, but, you know.
Yeah. No, Curtis and I are the big 6-0.
All right, well, you win. All right, fair enough. All right, you got me with that one. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to take a step back.
And I can't wait to get up there golfing with JQ. And I'm going to feel like I'm 35 when I'm playing against him. I can't wait.
Man, we're going to have
like
80,000
like
dollars
like
on the golf course with y'all, man, before
like
y'all start swinging at each other with golf
clubs.
Like
I'm 35.
I
hope you got that swing like 80,000 so fast.
Don't swing at each other, though. Do not swing at each other, though. That's the thing, man. We got to – I agree.
No.
Don't do that, man.
This is all in good fun.
I'll be driving the golf carts, driving you around and drinking beers. We're going to have a good time.
Absolutely. This is all in good fun. I will not swing my golf club again.
All right, gentlemen. I feel like the lady's about to cut us off, man. Have a great rest of your evening, rest of the week. Again, Naj, if you're really serious, man, hit us up, man. We'll email you the link if you want to go that direction, man. It's really simple. Get on your phone, man. We'll have some fun, man. No pressure for sure. Either way, okay?
All right, man. Y'all be safe.
All right, gentlemen. Have a good evening.
All right, y'all. See y'all next week.
Peace.
Next week, ladies and gentlemen.
Meeting ended. Yeah, that was a fun show tonight.